The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 14. Hello, and welcome back to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with your host, me, Leo Sowers, and the Liberty Dog himself, Gino, who is not sleeping on the job this week, but he looks like he's about to pass out and go to sleep. Before we jump into this week's episode, I want to remind you guys about the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com store. If you go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, at the upper portion of the page there, there is a tab for the store. Click on that and you're going to find coffee mugs, laptop cases, phone cases, a whole bunch of other stuff, stickers, t-shirts with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them, and other libertarian-esque and liberty-minded and anarchist-minded logos on other mugs and things like that. So go check it out at coffeebreakliberty.com. And when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, wait around for about 10 or 15 seconds, and you're going to get hit with a prompt for a newsletter. I'm telling you, sign up for the newsletter. Because one, I don't send out newsletters, so you're not going to get hit with stuff in your inbox. It was more just a fun thing for me to do. And second, once you sign up for that newsletter, you're going to get a discount code for 10% off of your first order from the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com store. So go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, sign up for that newsletter, and then go buy yourself a mug. The first topic of this podcast for this week is Justin Amash building bridges with AOC, and how a lot of people in the libertarian movement, the liberty movement, applauded this. And I'm going to be a standout and say, don't do this. Do not build bridges with people that want you dead. AOC and her crew, her cronies, they're opposed to everything we believe in. Yeah, we may align on a few issues here and there, but even her comment, when people asked about it, she responded. Some people asked, hey, how can you kind of, you know, when they asked Amash on Twitter, how can you align yourself with progressives? You know, we're supposed to be small government people. And AOC responded, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, yeah, small government, though. We like small government and decentralized on ICE and DHS and all this other stuff. This is the same woman that wants to put people that voted for Trump on a list. This is not somebody. Do not be fooled by her Twitter account and what she says on Twitter today, because just a few months ago, she wanted to put a large portion of Americans on a government list. Do not build bridges with people that want you dead. They don't believe what you believe. And that's fine. They can believe what they want to believe. But don't try to build a coalition with them, because they would just as quickly line us all up against a wall with a ditch in front of us. And we all know where that ends. And we've all seen it. It's one thing we need to be cautious of. We need to be aware of who we align ourselves with. We've seen this as a problem lately, the last 4, 5, 6 years in the Libertarian Party, right? You've got now socialists and communists in the Libertarian Party, which, hey, I'm not the first to say it, and it's not the first time I've said it, but that's opposed to the ideals and, you know, the idea of libertarianism. It goes against it. Now you're going to have some people, oh, no, well, you know, communism really is a form of anarchism. Yeah, okay, sure, that's the way Marx wrote it out to be, but we all know how it ends. It ends with mass graves every time. It ends in dictatorship and a government so large and so overpowering that millions end up dead. We need to watch out who we align ourselves with, who we build coalitions with. Why, of all the progressives, too, of all the progressives to build a coalition with, or to try to build a coalition with, she just went to some school and talked to some students that Justin Amash was talking to. How much of a coalition it is, I'm not really sure. I would say it's probably nothing, because he's not even in Congress anymore, and she doesn't really do a whole lot except get on Facebook and rant and rave. But still, it's the imagery, right? It's not a good image there's other progressives out there. There's lots of progressives out there that don't say put half the American population on a watch list. Maybe have those people speak to your students, Congressman Amash, former Congressman Amash, whatever, Justin Amash. Forging alliances and building bridges with people that want to hurt you is not a good idea. It's never been a good idea, and history shows this to us. Look at every revolution in world history, especially during the Enlightenment era, right? You look at the French Revolution. My gosh, that's a perfect example. You had all these factions aligning with each other, and eventually they all started killing each other during something they called the Great Terror, when over 2,500 people were beheaded in Paris. You look at the revolution in Russia or Cuba. It was smaller factions joining together, and then the strongest one won out in the end, and then it destroyed all the other factions to the tune of millions. In Russia, 20 million people plus died in just the war. Then the purges, that was another 25 million. Do not make alliances with people that want to hurt you. They do not have your best interest at heart. They do not care about you or us. And that's fine. That is perfectly fine. I'm not saying go against them and try to fight them in the streets or what have you. But don't build alliances with them. Don't do it. About a week ago, Michael Heiss, leader of the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus, was kind of, the target of a lot of controversy. Because he said, hey, I'm not going to support Justin Amash. And the caucus is going to put up somebody else. And we hope to run against Justin Amash. And we hope that our guy beats him out in the primary for the next presidential run-up for the Libertarian Party. I didn't comment on it last week, but I should have. And what I wanted to say last week was, hey, bring it on. A lot of people, like I said, they gave him a hard time about it. And I say, no, bring it on. I think, and I still do think, but I think Justin Amash is a pretty good candidate. But if Michael Heiss thinks he's got somebody better, and the caucus thinks they have somebody better, that's better for the Libertarian Party. That's better for the Liberty Movement. I may not agree with what Michael Heiss had to say about Justin Amash, but that's fine. He wants to bring somebody better. He wants to bring somebody who he thinks is better at least. Bring it on. Let's do it. Let's have better candidates. But no, people just lambasted him, right? I'll say this, though. It seems right now with Justin Amash trying to make alliances with people that want to hurt us, he wants to make alliances with people that are against us. It doesn't seem that difficult right now to come up with a candidate that's better. I still do think Justin Amash is a good guy, but there are times when you got to draw a line. You know, you got to draw that line in the sand. People that want to have us lined up against a wall, that's a line in the sand for me. You know, that's a barrier I'm not going to cross. I'm not going to reach across that and try to build a coalition with somebody that wants me lined up against a wall. Somebody that wants to put people that I care about on a list. Watch out who you make coalitions with. All this bridge building stuff sounds good. It sounds lovely. I'm not saying don't ever try it. But be aware of who you're talking to. You don't have to talk to the person who suggests Americans be put on a list. The second topic of this week's podcast is one I wish I was far more prepared for, but I'm going to give it my best shot. But I'm going to discuss and go through a thought experiment about how an anarchist society would deal with a pandemic. I'm not the first one to do this, and many have been asking this question, you know, for the last year plus now. How would an anarchist society deal with a pandemic? And we got to set some rules, right? Okay, so we're in this anarchist society where the entire country, you know, this society maybe doesn't have borders or what have you, but it is surrounded by countries that do have borders. So it kind of pseudo has borders, right? In this make-believe country. So in this country with pseudo borders with other countries, because they all have borders, there are no rulers, right? But there are rules. And we're also going to go with other rules, you know, laying the baseline for those that know. It's going to be an ANCAP type of society. Not an anarcho-communist one, but an anarcho-capitalist one. So things like property rights are expected, contracts, things like that. So how would an anarchist society handle a pandemic? I think it's a good question, right? Especially now with what's going on and the pandemic, at least in the West, India seems to be getting a pretty bad shake of it right now. But in the West, the pandemic seems to be, you know, on the decline. We're seeing less and less of it, right? It seems to be on kind of on its way out. We'll see what happens come this fall and winter because it's seasonal. For those who don't grasp that yet, it's seasonal. But like I said, in an ANCAP, an anarcho-capitalist society, you would have things like property rights, and those would be respected. So what could happen in a society like this? Well, you could ban travel to your property. So let's say there was a China or a place where the virus was breaking out, or in this case, like let's say it's right now, right? In India. And let's say that the United States was an anarchist, like a totally anarcho-capitalist society. You know, in an anarcho-capitalist society, you could, in theory, because borders are protected, borders are respected, maybe not protected, but they're respected, you could ban people from traveling to your borders. Now, banning people from leaving, that's not really in the anarchist, you know, mindset. So things like travel bans would and could happen in an anarchist society. Another way that an anarchist society could deal with a pandemic, and I'm not in favor of some of these things, or all of them, really, because we're seeing it here already. So we'll just use the nickname vaccine passports. In a place where property rights are respected, a business, a household could, and I think they have every right to, I still think they have every right to do it today. Not necessarily that I agree with it, but I think, you know, hey, if you want somebody to prove that they've had a vaccine to come to your establishment, though I disagree with it, I think you have the right to do that. For example, you know, let's say you are armed, you carry a pistol around a lot, and you want to respect though your friend's house. And maybe they don't like guns in their house. Maybe they've got small children and they're worried that guns, you know, they don't want guns around their children. And that's perfectly fine. They can have that concern. That's on them. They can ask, and it's their property. If you respect them, you're going to abide by it. They can ask you to leave your gun in the truck or at home or what have you. Now, whether you do or not, or if you'd refuse to go there, that's a different thing. But it's their property. It's their business. I don't like the idea of vaccine passports. But in an anarchist society where property rights are respected, these can happen. It probably would happen. You know, that's one thing with the anarcho-capitalist framework, right? Property rights are respected. You see it a lot from the ANCOMs, the anarcho-communists, where property rights aren't respected. But I'm of the belief, and I've said it before, property rights are human rights because you own yourself. If you don't own yourself, then somebody else can just come and destroy you. Somebody else can abuse you. And what recourse would you have? You don't own yourself. You don't own your property. I digress, though. So the main point, though, that, you know, how would an anarchist society deal with a pandemic? It's hard to say, right? It's, you know, it would be up to the businesses, though, if they'd want to shut down. It would be up to the individual consumer and the individuals in their households, how they wanted to deal with it. If there were community schools, like, you know, I'll use public schools, but there wouldn't really be public schools. It'd be more community schools, if that makes sense. But, you know, how would they would want to deal with it? It would be left up more to the individual or small, decentralized groups of people, like your neighbors, not some bureaucrat, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 3,000 miles away on how you should deal with a pandemic. Because who better knows how to deal with something than yourself? Who knows what's better for your health than you? Okay, maybe your doctor, but that's a personal one-on-one relationship, right? I know who doesn't know what's best for my health. Somebody in Washington. Somebody in Austin, Texas, which is pretty close to me because I live in San Antonio, so it's only about an hour away. But in a decentralized community, an anarchist society, I mean, all in all, it's a pandemic, right? How could you deal with it? Probably wouldn't fare much better. Death rate rise, infection rate wise. but you wouldn't have all these businesses collapsing. You wouldn't have over $11 trillion just printed out of thin air in the last 12 months. That's something you wouldn't see in an anarchist society. You wouldn't see the money in your pocket be worth less and less and less every day. Your paycheck worth less. Housing prices skyrocketing. You know, I'll use the old Michael Malice adage, right? You know, people say, oh, how would you, you know, this anarchist utopia, how would you deal with this? What would it be? It's like, no, hold on. Think of anarchism differently. It's not going to solve every problem. It's not. It's going to solve a lot, though. Think of government as a cancer. If somebody were to come to you, you know, somebody from the future, whoever, and said, hey, I have the cure for all cancers. Now, that doesn't get rid of accidents, that doesn't get rid of AIDS or heart attacks or depression, any other medical ailment, but it gets rid of all cancers. You're going to take it, right? You're going to take it every day. You're going to take that cure for every cancer. You're still going to have problems. There's still going to be problems. Anarchism isn't going to solve every problem, but it solves a pretty big one, and that's government. So how would anarchism deal with a pandemic? You can go one step further. How would you deal personally with a pandemic? How would you deal with your neighbors in a pandemic? You might quarantine if you're very cautious. You might quarantine for the last 12 months if you're very cautious and wait till there's a vaccine. Or you might be just like, forget this. I'm going outside where the sun is. I'm going to go play and risk it. That's how you would deal with a pandemic. That's how an anarchist society would deal with a pandemic, any way they felt. And in the end, honestly, the numbers probably wouldn't be much different. You can look at the United States. States that shut down entirely. I mean, they were still, it was nuts. When I was in California in the fall, it was the exact opposite of what Florida was or Arizona. Yet they had some of the worst rates in the fall. California had some of the worst rates in the fall, while Florida, since September 2020, completely open. No restrictions, completely open. So if you're wondering how an anarchist society would fare, it's hard to tell. Because clearly borders don't mean anything. State borders don't. If one state is totally locked down and doing worse than another state, granted they're pretty far away, they're about 3,000 miles apart, but one state is completely open and another is pretty much shut down, locked down, and that state is doing far worse in a pandemic than the state that is completely open with a much older population, the answer to how an anarchist society would deal with a pandemic or handle one would be just about as well as everybody else did. But here's the things you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have people being harassed by police. You wouldn't have dozens, hundreds of thousands of small businesses disappearing. You wouldn't have $11 trillion printed in 12 months. An anarchist society would not provide the solution to a pandemic, but it would avoid the pitfalls. Before I sign off for the week, guys, I want to remind you all of the affiliate program that I am a part of. If you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, and at the top there is a tab for affiliate. Click on that tab, check out the affiliate program. There's a little paragraph right up about it, and you'll see a banner for bluehost.com. And if you're wondering what Bluehost is, that is the hosting service for this website and podcast. So go check it out. Sign up for a website through that link. You'll get a discounted rate and then let me know about it. When you let me know about it, let me know about your new website, your new podcast on that website. When you sign up through Bluehost, like I said, let me know about it and I'll give you free advertising. I used to call it the Tom Woods deal. I'm now calling it the Leo Sowers deal. So you'll get free advertising on the Instagram, the webpage, the blog, the Facebook page, the podcast, and my other personal accounts. You're going to reach thousands of people. That's free advertising. You can't beat it. You'll get a discounted rate on your website, which everybody should have. And then you'll get that great free advertising. So go check it out at coffeebreakliberty.com and click on that affiliate tab. Well, we're winding down here, guys, for the week. And before I sign off for the week, I just want to point out that I may or may not have a podcast next week. I will be going up to Austin for a trip for the weekend, starting Friday, which is when I usually record these. So we'll see. It may become a blog for the week. It may be another podcast. Stay tuned. Keep checking the Facebook page because that's where most of the information comes out. But until then, take care.